Hello and welcome back to Lounging with Books. I'm Sophie.
And I'm Claire.
And oh my gosh, we have so much to talk about. We started putting our podcast every other week. So we're like, we don't have too much to talk about. And then you know what we're like, we did loads of stuff, didn't we?
Yeah, we always do, don't we?
So now we've got loads
cram
to talk
it
about.
All in.
So, February, for those of you that don't know, is LGBTQ plus History Month. Mm-hmm. And somehow I ended up running Diversity Club at the school, which is the LGBTQ
plus. Yeah, but you are the right person for doing that, I think.
Well, it's something I'm passionate about, yeah. I guess. So because of this, I wanted to kind of do something to celebrate the month because I feel like not a lot of people know about it. So I did a PowerPoint for the whole school, which kind of went out in the Wellbeing Wednesday sessions that our PDC does. And yeah, so I just talked about the month. I talked about famous figures from history that are LGBTQ+ and kind of educated what the terms mean. So I thought that was really good and it was quite a big success. Kept me very busy.
Yeah. We've got a Wakelet page for that, so you can probably put the link on for this after.
Yes, I'll definitely put the link to our Wakelet page because we've got one for World Book Day as well. Mm. So I'll put them in the description of this podcast. So I was busy doing that, and then obviously I've been sending out PowerPoints to Diversity Club as well, just kind of summing up History Month and talking about famous figures, and that was interesting. It was fun.
Yeah, well, we're very supportive of it. We have a display up all the time, don't we, in the Learning Lounge with all our books on it. It was really nice, actually, because I had a student email us, was it a week ago?
Yeah.
And she said that she was feeling a little bit low, and she looked out of her classroom and saw our LGBTQ flag, and it made her feel stronger. And,
yeah, it gave her strength.
Yeah, and that was so lovely to hear that we have that impact just from, you know, having it there all the time.
And I think that's the thing with, you know, not many people know that February is the month of LGBTQ plus history, and for so long these people have been kept hidden, and it's important that you bring them to light so younger people that identify as LGBTQ plus can be like, oh, we have a history, it's not a new thing. You know, it was happening since, you know, before Greek times. So
your club is growing, isn't it?
It is. I'm finding everyone.
Yeah. Join Diversity Club.
Join it. So if you want to learn more about LGBTQ plus History Month, want to share any resources, check out our Wakelet page, which I've linked below. We also had a storytelling competition running.
We've had some great entries, haven't we? Really good. You have had to keep reminding them that they've got to stick to the brief, though. They've sent you stories, or they've sent us stories and not kind of kept to the brief, and you have to say, in order for this story to go forward,
you must include the character, location, object that we've supplied.
Yeah.
We actually stole this idea from Eve Ainsworth.
Yeah.
Because she did an author workshop with us, and we just loved that idea that every time we do a writing competition now, we say you have to write about this character, this location, and this object, because I think that does make it harder.
Yes.
You can't just write anything. You've got to really focus.
And they were quite difficult this time as well.
Oh, yeah, I did pick some horrible things. Yeah. I don't know why I did that. Because I was like, oh, I've got to write something to show them what to write about. Could I do it? No, but thankfully you're like a poet.
I did a poem. I always do a poem.
And they're always really good. And you're like, oh, it's not very good. And I'm like, what? This is brilliant. Like Lord Byron's with us.
Yeah, right.
But that comes to an end this week. Yeah. So that's been a huge thing happening as well. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, big things are happening next week because it's World Book Day on the 4th of March.
Yay. And usually we have Scholastic Book Fairs here, but obviously that isn't happening because nobody's at school. So we've had to rethink our plans this year.
But the hype has already started. Mm-hmm. The librarians on Twitter are going mad.
Yeah.
I've seen some great things.
Yeah. And lots of authors doing all those videos as well, which really looking forward to that.
Really, really good. I've seen a librarian, she was decorating potatoes.
Yeah, I like that
as book characters. Oh my God, I was like, this is so unique.
And then there's
TRC, our favourite.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have favourites, but she's great. And she's got people to like redo book covers. So they're holding the book and then it kind of goes from the book to reality. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
So she's got the staff to like hold books up. So there's like a book with like a zebra face on it. And then like the member of staff is like dressed as a zebra, so you can't see where the book goes into the person.
Oh, wow. That mine must have taken some doing. I'm going to look that up. I haven't seen that.
They definitely went above and beyond the zebra lady.
And Miss Suffield is obviously got an abundance of toilet rolls.
Yeah, that looks great as well.
Yeah.
So many creative ideas. So we've jumped on the bandwagon to do something creative, haven't we?
Yes.
So on World Book Day, we'll be running a stream of activities on Twitter. So every hour, I'm going to upload 2 Where's Wally pictures. And I dressed up as Wally today, and I hid myself around the school. There's a lot of confused students who are here being like, what?
Yeah.
Who's this? But I've hid myself around the school, and I'm going to upload those pictures on Twitter every hour. And it's up to you to see if you can spot Wally.
It's great. We've had such fun with that, haven't we?
Mm.
We have been laughing.
I think we enjoyed it more than you will enjoy it, but that will be there for you. And then at lunchtime...
Yeah, I usually dress up as Pippi Longstocking or Dennis the Menace. This year it's Pippi Longstocking, and I'm Spot the Difference.
Mm.
So you've taken a picture of me, and then we've changed things.
And you've got to see if you can spot the 10 differences.
You might spot a few extra ones if we've kind of not got the picture exactly the same, but we don't mind that as long as you get the 10 main ones.
So stay tuned to our Twitter at lounge_learning. We will also be putting these pictures on our World Book Day Wakelet page, which I've also linked below. So that's kind of what we're doing creative-wise.
Yeah, and we've got a quiz. We've got a family fun quiz, which is for the students of Toot Hill. So that will be going home to them, and they can win a tub of chocolates and a book from our prize pile.
And there you go. That's our library news. So, book reviews.
Mm.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
because last time we did podcasts, we were speaking to Sophie, so we haven't done book reviews for a long time.
No. So I'm going to talk about one that I've read, which is called Savage Her Reply by Deirdre Sullivan. We got this book gifted to us. I went on a seminar, which was Meet the Creators by School Librarian Association, which there's one, I think it's this Wednesday coming up. Which you can join if you're for free if you're a member. And I got this book sent through, and I really like this book. It's not usually my sort of thing, fantasy, is it?
No.
But I loved it. It came with a little white feather in it and everything. And it's a retelling of an Irish fairy tale about the children of Lear.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there are 3 sisters in it. One of the sisters marries Lear, but then she dies in childbirth, and she has 2 sets of twins, and the middle sister then marries Lear, but she's got like issues with being like second best, and it's what she decides to do to the children.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to say too much about it because it would spoil the story, but there's magic, there's intrigue, there's it's to do with swans anyway.
Swans. I would have not thought swans would be in that book.
Yep, swans. And it's really quite eerie, quite dark, so poetically written, beautifully. It's lovely. It's a really, really lovely story. Beautiful book as well.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Mm. So I do highly recommend reading it. Very good.
On the flip side to that, I got involved in a sci-fi trilogy. I've only read the first 2 books because we don't have the 3rd one, but we're going to get it because I want it. and it's by Stuart Gibbs, and it's actually for, I'd probably say, year 6 to year 8 sort of book. But it's amazing. It's about this boy that lives on the moon because they've tried to start a colony on the moon, and his family are like scientists, so they ended up going there. And somebody ends up dying on the face of the moon because the head honcho guy just walks out and obviously dies on the moon. And this boy is the only one that thinks something is amiss. So he starts investigating who murdered this guy.
Oh.
But there's aliens in it. It's so good. And then the second one's about a missing person case. And usually I don't think sequels are as good, but the sequel was just as good. Like, it was amazing. And the books have set up so much, I have no idea how the 3rd one's going to tie it all together. It's really good. And there's loads of like facts about the moon and space in there, and they're quite accurate because he said he spoke to his friend who was an astronaut that helped him, you know, map out the book in terms of the the facts. So it's a really good way of kind of learning more about space and the moon in such a fun thriller. I loved it. I'm obsessed with them.
They're one of
my favourite books, and I'm just like, why do I love
And you
these
don't
books?
Usually kind of go for the middle grade books.
No, because I find them too young, and I'm a bit like, oh, it's a bit shallow, you know, like. But this storytelling, I just thought was really well wrote, like woven. Yeah. Lots of poo jokes in there too. Lots of there's toilet humour. It's definitely up my street if it's toilet humour. Brilliant.
I'll talk about the book I'm reading now. So this book is by Jeff Zentner, and it's Rainey and Delilah's Midnight Matinee. And I've read another book by Jeff Zentner. He's written Goodbye Days, which is a thriller, which is about a boy who's basically feels that he killed his friends because he sent them a text in the car. So that's quite deep. This one is funny. This is quite hilarious, although there is an emotional side to it, because Delia is looking for her dad who left her mum and her when she was young, and has had a detective looking for him, and she's found him, and he's in Florida, and she goes to like this it's like a Comic-Con for horror near Florida, and decides to go and find her dad. But anyway, what they do is they have this local TV show where it's called their Midnight Matinee, and they talk about horror, and then they show this really cheesy horror film. But you know, I have a thing about similes, don't I?
Yes. You love a good simile.
Yeah, I love a good simile. And there's lots of really good ones in here. And I'm going to read you this bit. I want to read you the other bit, but it's a little bit rude. So I won't read it. But this one is, you and your friend can come to Buffalo Wild Wings with us after our treat, Corn Cob says, nodding at Delia and me, and then back at his son and or friend, who looks like a sub sandwich that was dipped in Elmer's glue and then propped up in front of a fan through which someone had tossed handfuls of hair clippings. I mean, it's just such so many laugh out loud moments.
I want to read that. That sounds really funny.
It's so funny. And they've got this basset hound as well. I think it belongs to Josie. They changed their names for the matinee, so they're Josie and Delia, but Rainey and Delilah on their show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josie just thought her name was too dull for the show.
I don't know. But there's also this basset hound called Burford, but actually his name is Burford T. Rutherford B. Hayes. And he's sprawled like a tan garbage bag of dog jello, looking doleful, looking maybe even a bit more full of dole than usual, sensing he's been scapegoated. But basically, you can imagine this dog just looks at them and goes, you know, you two are weird, like that. It's just such a great book. I've laughed out loud several times.
I mean, it's great when people use similes like that, and you can really visualise the characters in so this kind of comedic ways.
You know, I mean, that's right up my street, that sort of book anyway.
That's my kind of comedy as well. Yeah. That and the toilet humour.
So I definitely recommend that
yeah,
one.
I want to read that one. I didn't even know we had that book. Mm. So a book that I just finished reading was The Quiet at the End of the World by Lauren James, and this got quite a lot of hype when it first came out, and it's kind of about, there's this pandemic. I know, what a time to read it.
Yeah.
Where everyone just becomes infertile all of a sudden. And you're focusing on the last two humans basically alive in the world. They're the last two people to have been born. And one of the characters who you follow, she likes to find old relics, and she finds like this girl's old blog post that details kind of like what happened at the end of the world when people found out they couldn't be, you know, have babies anymore. And it's really interesting. And obviously they're worried because they've got parents that are really old, so the parents are kind of going to pop the clog soon. So these two who are quite young are worried they're going to be the last two humans alive on their own, and how they're going to continue the human race. But there's so many twists. There's some twists in there that you don't see coming, because a lot of the adults start having seizures and stuff, and you don't know what's wrong with them.
Oh.
And then you uncover a big secret, and it's like, oh, that was good. It really opened up. She does write good books. I've read all of hers apart from the first one because it sounded too romantic. I don't do romance. And then briefly, I've just started a book called Peril in Paris, which is by Catherine Woodfine, another middle grade book, and she's written a stream of books with Rose and Taylor in, and they're like detectives, young detectives in like in the past. But this is like her new series where she's kept the same characters, but they're off to do espionage.
Right.
And I've not read the ones where they were detectives, but I've still managed to pick up what's going on.
Yeah.
So I think you can read them without reading the others.
So it's kind of like a bit like a Robin Stevens type, the murder most unladylike. It sounds a little bit like it's on that line.
I mean, they keep talking about stuff that has happened in the other books, but she explains it in a way where I'm like, oh, I don't really need to have read them.
Sometimes I think it's really good when they have sequel, you know, different books in the series that you can just drop in and read them.
Yeah.
And you don't need to have known.
Because I feel like the characters have started a new chapter in their lives. They're going different ways. So it's almost okay that I haven't read their backstory. But so far, I'm enjoying it. I thought I wouldn't because I was like, oh, middle grade.
Yeah.
How thrillerish could this be?
Yeah.
But actually, I'm hooked. I'm like, what's going on? Who's
good
this
stuff?
Yeah, so it's good. I'll let you know.
Well, we like her books because they're set in different countries again.
Yeah, and I think that's really important to go on an adventure. And because it's in the past as well, it's even more interesting.
Yeah.
So please stay tuned for our World Book Day shenanigans, which is next Thursday. Links to our wakelets are in the description below. As always, contact us on our Twitter at @lounge_learning. And it is goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.